It was made at home from barley, which would be allowed to sprout, and then the brewer would crush them into a mash that was malted and fermented in a large vat. Once the fermentation occurred, the malt was dried, and this would allow it to be transported or stored very easily. So you could send the raw ingredients for your beer up the river, or you could just keep it over the course of a winter. When you wanted to make beer, you would add water, sometimes other flavors. We know of pomegranate and aniseed, sort of licorice taste to the beer are mentioned. And then once the water was added, once again, the beer would be fermented in a large storage vat and the dregs would settle there. The result is beer, which could be sold in taverns or used at home. Specific brews are described as especially sweet or old, and we assume that old means good in this case. Some artistic representations show drinkers drinking beer from a large vat, and there are several drinkers who sit around the vat, which is placed on the ground, and each drinker has their own long straw. So it really is a communal beverage. We also know that individual beakers were used for beer, so it was not always this communal drinking that we see in some of the earliest representations. The alcohol content of beer was not especially high. At its strongest, it would approximate the alcohol content in modern beers. The goddess Ninkasi was the patron deity of brewers, and female brewers are listed regularly. They are also associated with taverns. If you remember, we met a female tavern keeper, Siduri, in the Epic of Gilgamesh, and she provided our earliest evidence for the wisdom of a barkeep when she tried to prevent Gilgamesh from going on his fruitless quest for immortality. Food preparation used fire in many different ways. Food could be broiled or roasted over an open flame, or warmed with the judicious use of hot coals. Bread was baked in neighborhood ovens, and you remember that bakers were one of the professions that we discussed in the previous lecture. A neighborhood oven would allow a lot of bread to be made without heating up a number of different houses, and this is still a common practice in the Near East today, where bread is made and bought on a daily basis rather than made at home. There are examples of home bakeries. Bread could be made on a clay cylindrical burner that got very hot, so it would be placed over a fire, and the bread was placed at the top, so it would create unleavened bread, a flat bread that could be used as we use wraps today. There are also ovens that are covered and have a domed top, so this would provide enough humidity to produce leavened bread. Pots and kettles of clay or metal would be used for boiling, stewing, and soups, which we know were very popular. Braziers for cooking strips of meat and vegetables provided a sort of small portable kitchen equipment. And again, this would allow the home chef to adapt to the environment. If it was especially hot outside, you don't want to build a large fire over an oven that's inside. You want to have the smallest cooking space necessary. And so these little hibachis would have served the purpose quite well. Palace archives fill in other details about Mesopotamian diet and also indicate specific occasions when rulers hosted large banquets. Wine is described in some of these texts, almost always in a royal archive rather than in a private text. And there is archaeological evidence for wine, specifically from the analysis of jars that have been discovered. And you might recall I mentioned that a fairly recent discovery